Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Yesterday I had something really incredible happen. Outside, of course, of being around someone very excited about the Word of God. But God in His providence and His sovereignty, He moved upon my heart to listen to this audiobook. And I started listening to it as I was driving out here yesterday, and of course listening to it as I was driving home as well, and then today. And it's the book by Jim Cimbala called Fresh Wind and Fresh Fire. Jim Cimbala is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Many of you may have heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. His wife directs that and comes out of that church. Very profound story that he shares in that book about how God moved and has been moving in that church. And it's come down basically to one element, and that is the element of prayer. Now, you know, we have said a lot about prayer in our studies. We have taught on it. We have devoted our morning time before Sunday school to pray. We have taken times out on Wednesday night devoted to prayer. But there was something there that really spoke to me as I was listening. Something that really began to pull at my heart. And so much that my wife and I was up pretty late last night talking about it as well as praying together. And it was really a personal issue. An issue basically saying, how fervent am I personally in my prayer life? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I pray. But I always say I don't pray enough. And probably many of you could say the same thing, right? We pray, but we don't pray enough. But there was something that he said on that tape that really spoke to me. And this happened to him when he was down in Florida. His father-in-law had paid for him to come down there because their church is in New York, and he had a terrible cold and a terrible cough, and he wasn't able to get over that, so his father-in-law paid for him to come down there and to get in some Florida sunshine. And while he was on this fishing boat, that's when he really began to sense God really moving in his heart. He said there were so many people there on the boat excited about fishing and everything, and he said he just separated himself from them, and he was just kind of leaning there on the side and just looking off in the horizon and just really beginning to pray about the church. Now, I can relate to a lot of that because I think about the church all the time. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about things about our church right here and thinking about things that I'm studying. And I shared with you last week that I couldn't sleep past 4 o'clock because I really felt the need to just get up and spend some time with God. But as he was sharing that, he said he really sensed that God was just really moving on his heart about prayer and about the need to teach his people to pray and to really give himself to that issue. Now, as I said a moment ago, we talk about prayer. And we mentioned it many times. In fact, this Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about praying for one another, as we have been talking about these one another principles. But the question really is, are we really learning how to pray? Are we really fervent in our prayers? And are we constant in our prayers? In other words, do we pray more than just when we meet for prayer meeting, or meet on Sunday morning or Sunday night or any other time that we meet? Are we constant in our prayer life? Meaning, do we take the things in our life and constantly order it to the presence of Jesus Christ? Because, you know, you're always in His presence. He's in your life. And you remember He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. And you remember the commission found over in Matthew chapter 28. He said, I will be with you always. So we're never alone. He is always there. But the question is, do we acknowledge Him? Do we acknowledge that He is there? It's as if to say, you have your best friend with you all the time. Okay? Meaning you have Him right there with you to talk to, to share about the things going on in your world and in your life, even though He knows what's going on. But you have somebody to talk to. You have somebody to relate to. You have somebody to give this to. You know, as I was listening to that and really thinking about that, and in fact, a couple times, Teresa asked me, is everything okay? But I was just really meditating upon that, and we began to pray last night. You know, it's so easy, folks, to pray with other people, but pray with your family. It takes some work. It takes humbling. It takes vulnerability. And let me just say this to you, spouses, if you're not praying together, start. It will really do some incredible things in your relationship, not only with God, but of course with each other, as you begin to open up to God. And so, I really feel that tonight, that I really want to commit us to that time. Really commit us to praying. Allowing God to have our hearts and have our time and to teach us to pray. As you know, I have a basic principle in my life about ministry that if we start ministries and they begin to die, I don't want to plead with people to run the ministries and to keep them going, especially if they're not led by God to do that. I would assume just to let the ministry die. The old saying is you can't, you know, keep kicking a dead horse. It's dead. But yet, many times we want to keep kicking it and try to keep jump-starting it, and it just doesn't work. God's not in it anymore. Or it served its purpose for that time. And the problem with things that work in ministry is that we hold on to them till the second coming. And maybe God doesn't mean for us to hold on to those things for that long. Maybe they have served their purpose. But folks, one thing that we'll constantly need work on in our life and will always need to be going on in the life of our church is prayer. And on Sunday mornings I've shared with you that at 9 o'clock that we had prayer time, and then here just recently we moved it to 9:15, and you know, for a period of time there we were having a pretty good crowd during that time. I counted sometimes up to a dozen people that have come to pray. I've shared with you about my desire to have people praying during our services, and I've had a few people sign up, but I've had a lot of people not, and I've passed it around and things like that. And I'm, of course, not saying this to you to make you feel bad or to make you feel guilty or anything like that. It's just that maybe we're not there yet. I mean, it's just simple as that. And so, you know, we label our Wednesday night as a prayer time, but I really came to the realization yesterday that how much time do I really give to us to pray? I mean, I do a Bible study, and like last week, my Bible study was about 45 minutes. I mean, how quick can you go through an overview of Exodus, right? And then, of course, Leviticus. Whew, that'll really make you evaluate the ministry. But folks, I really want to give us some of that time. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to just share briefly from Matthew 6, and then I'm going to give us some time to pray. And how we're going to do this is just going to be very informal. If you're the type that doesn't like to pray out loud, that's fine. Just pray silently. But if you'd like to pray out loud after somebody prays, then you do that. We won't officially be done until I close us in prayer, okay? Second thing is, when you've finished praying, don't start talking to your neighbor. Pray again. Okay? Pray more. Because what happens a lot of times, especially when we split up in groups, one group's done, then that group starts talking, and, you know, we're not done. But pray and pray again. And take that time to really talk to the Lord. Maybe you might want to get on your knees. Maybe you might want to come up here to the front and get on your knees. Of course, you're welcome to do that. Now, as far as our current series that we're in of going through the entire Bible, I'm going to shift that to Sunday night and give us a broader listening to that. And so, not this Sunday night, because of our family night, I'm going to move it to the next Sunday night when we are meeting. But tonight, I want to encourage you to look here with me in Matthew chapter 6, and just a couple things I want to point out before we move into this time. Notice what he says here. This is Jesus speaking in verse 33. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, earlier today I had an opportunity to look at this verse and really working on some things for next week because I'm meeting with someone during the week. But I got really thinking about some of this and thinking about tonight and thinking about what I wanted to share with you as we have prayer together. And this really gets us to a good place to start because it forces us to really look at our priorities. Notice here in verse 33 that we are to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. This is to be first in all that we do. Notice he says that, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I mean, you don't need a degree to figure that out, right? It's pretty clear. Seek first. And seeking God first, and seeking His kingdom first, and seeking His righteousness first, it should be seen in our approach of how we approach God. So as you begin to approach God tonight, evaluate your priorities. Is He first? Is His righteousness the ultimate priority of your life? Is His kingdom the ultimate priority of your life? As I was thinking about this, it made me think about a publication that I'd read some time back by A.W. Tozier called Worship, the Missing Jewel of the Evangelical Church. And he says this, "The purpose of God in sending His Son to die and rise and live and be at the right hand of God the Father was that He might restore to us the missing jewel, the jewel of worship, that we might come back and learn to do again that which we were created to do in the first place. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. To spend our time in awesome wonder and adoration of God, feeling and expressing it and letting it get into our labors and doing nothing except as an act of worship to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ." You see, it's so easy to get mechanical in what we do, especially as we have a service and we have a lot of things going on and we say we're doing this at this time and this at that time, and then prayer becomes mechanical. Worship becomes mechanical. We've got to move away from that. We've got to move to the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit. We've got to move to His feeling and His control. We've got to really focus on our approach, how we approach a holy and awesome God. With seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness being first in all that we do, and it being seen in our approach, it's also to be seen in our attitudes before God. And we've been talking a lot about that. And you know what I've shared with you about the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians 5:22? That's not fruits. It's fruit. It's one fruit. And it's attitude fruit. All of those things are attitudes. Listen to them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of this is attitude fruit. And Paul says, against this there is no law. You don't want to restrain it. You want this to be taking place. You want love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control to permeate your life and the life of the church. So to worship God acceptably then, there's something that has to happen. We must be freed from our sin. Tozier goes on to say, "Cain worship is worship out of an unregenerate heart." Remember Cain? You remember how the Lord didn't receive his offering? But notice something else here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then it says, and all these things should be added to you. Our seeking of God and His righteousness is to be above all our necessities. It's to be sought after more than our daily necessities. Remember what Job says? "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." See, a lot of times we think that our necessities are the most important things of our life. And we miss out on a few things and we start going crazy and we get a lot of anxiety and worry sets in. But yet, we're to trust God for everything, aren't we? It says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, many of us know that verse. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. and He shall direct your paths. How about Psalm 37? Many of us know that verse that talks about delighting in the Lord, but listen to the verses before it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He's mentioned trust twice. He's mentioned delight one time. You see, you can truly delight in Him when you trust Him, when you've laid all your worries down at His feet, and you're really seeking His kingdom, His righteousness, and you're not worrying about your needs. Oswald Chambers says, "It is not our trust that keeps us, but the God in whom we trust who keeps us." So we're trusting in the living God. Notice verse 34. We're not to worry about tomorrow then. He says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." See, trusting God for our necessities includes tomorrow. See, we only need to be concerned about today, not tomorrow. And yet we do think a lot about tomorrow, don't we? Our concern needs to be given to who? To the Lord. He's the God of today and He is the God of tomorrow. But He wants us to trust Him. So fretting about what we need tomorrow, all it's going to do is produce worry. Isn't that what He says here? "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow." How many of you have a problem with worry? I think we all do at times, don't we? You say, "Well, my daily necessities is my need." But you know, God says your real need is His kingdom and His righteousness. Your real need is Him. Remember Matthew 4:4? What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Every word. So let me leave you with this verse, Philippians 4:6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You know what the cure is for anxiety? You know what the cure is for worry? It's prayer. That's the cure. I just finished reading a book by D. James Kennedy, and he had a whole chapter devoted to that. So don't fret, don't worry. We are to seek God and His righteousness. And that's what I want us to do right now. So as we move into this time of prayer, I want to, first of all, direct your attention to the screen. Up on the screen, there will be things for you to pray about, people to pray for, as well as what has been mentioned tonight as we shared our request. But folks, let's take this time and really give it to Him, okay?